this morning to your congregation for our consideration of the fact that Jesus arose from the dead, something we celebrate every Lord's Day, but especially also on Easter Sunday. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the last chapter. And we will also look at John chapter 20, just at three verses. I'll mention them in a moment. So first, Matthew 28. Let's read the whole chapter, God's holy word. Here we read the good news. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Doesn't say with great fear and great joy. With fear and great joy. Notice that. And ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We're going to look especially at the verses 5 to 7. From this Holy Scripture, which we read together, under the theme of the angel's proclamation about Jesus' resurrection. But let's look with me yet at John 20. We want to look at I want to read with you verse 11 to 13, because one of the group of women, only two are mentioned by Matthew, but there were others as well, and one of them was Mary Magdalene. And we read in verse 11 of John 20, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb," because she had run away. I'll say that in the sermon. "And she was weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then the angels, said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?'" Dear congregation, someone said to me this week, "Though the churches may be empty, we may yet proclaim the glad good tidings of the empty tomb and the fullness of the gospel that it tells us about." And truly, that's our privilege also today. And if you think about it, what can be healed? What all can be healed and made good in view of Jesus, the resurrected Savior, Remember, said Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David has risen from the dead according to my gospel. How special and relevant in our dark times, with the virus plague and all its ill effects over all the world in these weeks and months, that we may reflect yet in a special way on Jesus' victorious resurrection from the dead. It proclaims and promises, beloved, loud and clear, that there's no dismal situation, however dark and deadly even, that Jesus cannot turn it around. This Easter Sunday morning, April 12, 2020, let's listen to these gospel tidings of Jesus' resurrection as given by the angel to the women who had come to the tomb where Jesus had been buried or placed. Matthew only mentions the names of two, but there were others there as well. And we know this group of women, they were dear followers of Jesus. And they had come to Jesus' tomb with spices and other special oils, etc., to embalm Jesus' body further, in less of a rush and in quiet weeping and respect for him whom they had so loved and trusted in to be their Messiah, Savior. Sadly, they yet misunderstood Jesus' full mission and how Jesus, to be faithful Savior, Messiah, had to die in the sinner's place to become indeed even a curse in their stead, and so to provide the ultimate salvation cure through his shed blood on sinners' behalf. They hadn't understood this fully yet, nor that Jesus, as perfect Savior of sinners, with his once for all God-pleasing sacrifice, must also rise from the dead. Oh, Jesus had told his followers often enough, not only that he would die, sinners to redeem, and then rise again triumphantly to minister his salvation blessings to his own, but they never grasped what Jesus all meant. So here they were at the tomb of Jesus early that morning, that Sunday morning, long ago. And their initial fears when coming to the tomb about that heavy stone, you know, in front of the grave of Jesus, how that could be removed by them, well, those fears evaporated when they came to the garden where Jesus was laid. Why? The stone had already been rolled away, they saw, and was lying flat some distance from the tomb. This shocked them, as we can well imagine. But they went on ahead towards the opening. All but one, that is, namely, Mary Magdalene. We learned this from John's gospel account in John 20. She bolts from the group of women and ran to Peter and John to tell them someone must have stolen Jesus' body. But these other women, they stayed and they continued. And guess what happened? Even as they neared the opening, they see an angel and they hear a message from that angel to them. And here we come to our text especially, the verses 5 to 7 of Matthew 28. Let me read those verses to you again. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." With these words before us, dear congregation, consider with me our theme for this sermon: the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection. I have angels in the plural because though both Matthew and Mark just mentioned one angel by the empty tomb of Jesus, we read that both Luke and John mention two angels. Two men
in shining, dazzling garments, Luke says. Why the difference between the gospel writers? We don't really know. We can say there's no contradiction between them, however, for never do Matthew and Mark say there was only one angel. And later I will mention something very special about the fact that there were two angels that the women saw. At least one in the group did, Mary Magdalene. Well, with our theme now, the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection, let's notice the following observations about it. For one, doesn't it come across as proclamation so caring? So caring. Look and listen how tenderly and gently the one angel communicates with the women. He meets them where they are at. Let us remember here, the angel speaks not on behalf of himself, but on behalf of God. The angel and angels serve as messengers from God's throne and heart, from the Messiah's heart, we might say. And the first words these trembling, anxious, confused, sorrowful women hear then is, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified." Do you hear how the angels clearly understood what their minds, these women's anxious minds and hearts, were full of at that time? And right away, as God's messenger angel, the heavenly angelic being, most caringly addresses their concerns. These women would become the first to hear, "Jesus arose, as he said he would." When we seek Jesus in spirit and truth, beloved, the Lord is pleased to minister to us most caringly, even in spite of all our remaining shortcomings and sins still against our will. As I read this week, there's nothing wrong with any believer that a good resurrection can't cure. There's nothing wrong with any believer that a good resurrection can't cure. And here it's interesting to consider the question, why were these women the first to hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection? Why them, even before the 11 disciples? Well, different answers have been given to this question. Some have said, well, God chose the weak to confound the strong. Others suggest, well, the women were rewarded for their faithful services to the Lord in Galilee. Another holds that, well, because death came by a woman in the Garden of Eden, now new life is given to women first, or told about first to women in the garden, now of the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. Others propose that it was just because, well, where there's deepest sorrows, there's the deepest joy given, or where there's supreme love, there God chose supreme privilege. But don't we have to say, actually, the Bible doesn't say any of this. It offers no such explanation. And is it not more correct to say just, you know, the gospel promise is that if we seek him, we shall find him. These women were there at the tomb in their love and devotion to Jesus. As misguiding as it was yet, they were not put to shame. If the disciples had been there, wouldn't they too have heard the good news directly from the angels rather than indirectly from these women? It is seekers who are finders. And it is those who look to Christ and cleave to Christ who will all the more experience and enjoy the blessings of Christ. How often people miss out on so many blessings of the Lord that they might otherwise have and rejoice in when unbelieving and not diligent and regular in devotion and worship of God when those opportunities are given us. Let us not miss this point, beloved. Everyone listening online now too, from your homes, how good that you are listening now online, not just sleeping in. And may you hear in the caring resurrection message to these women long ago who came to the tomb, the same caring gospel message now also for you and for me. Here we need to take notice yet of how the verses 5 to 10 of our text are sandwiched in this last chapter of Matthew, are sandwiched between Matthew's account of the Roman soldiers. Did you notice that? We are told those Roman soldiers, they scattered from Jesus' empty tomb in great fear and dread when Jesus arose and God had sent an earthquake and an angel. And they later, we learn, with the enticement of money from the Jewish leaders, helped spread a lie about Jesus, saying that his disciples came and stole his body from the grave. For those Roman soldiers and all who would keep promoting and believing such a lie, as the Jewish leaders were insisting on, there is no resurrection news most caring, but rather resurrection news as a solemn warning. No one can survive denying and defying Jesus and him raised again from the dead. Even the first word of our text highlights this. What's the first word? But. You see that? But. It brings out this solemn contrast between the joyful tidings of Jesus' resurrection for the repentant and believing and the warning tidings of his resurrection for the wicked and unbelieving. Jesus lives and reigns as King of Kings. And if we are wise, we, you and I, we bow with mind and heart before him as only Savior and Lord. Is that what you are doing personally? Each one hearing this preaching now? You know about Jesus and him crucified. Are you trusting him and following him as your only Savior and Lord? Notice in this regard, our next observation about the angel's proclamation to Jesus' resurrection. Oh, you can't miss it even, can you? How it comes across as so certain. So certain. Just listen to what the angel says about Jesus who was crucified and died and had been laid in the tomb 3 days earlier. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. The angels gives this assurance of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. A threefold assurance. First, negatively speaking, he is not here. Then, positively speaking, he is risen. And following that, most assuredly speaking, as he said. In other words, the women may be most assured. Not just that Jesus' body isn't there anymore, but that he arose from the dead. Yes, as Jesus had always said he would. There's nothing new here, really, in other words. And if they had only understood before, Jesus being raised up from the grave is what they should have expected, even. Interestingly, the verb he is risen is in a verb tense meaning he has risen. And even he has been raised. Jesus had said earlier, like in John 10, verse 18, that he himself had the power to take up his life again. And in Galatians 1, verse 1, we're told it's the Father who raised up Christ. And in Romans 8, verse 11, we're told it's the Spirit who raised up Christ. All three persons of the Trinity were involved in this wonderful salvation event for sinners. God delighted to raise Jesus from the dead. God would not be God, faithful and true, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, as he said. Peter, in fact, declares this in his Pentecost sermon in Acts 2, verse 24, that God raised up Jesus, who had been crucified and put to death, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. How fitting in this regard are the words of that song, a song I just love to sing, which testifies in regards to Jesus, the Savior, risen from the dead.
He tore the bars away. Death cannot keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Indeed. God's people know and testify. It is more impossible that Jesus should not have risen than the certain fact that he has risen. Well, is this same your and my conviction and confession of faith this morning? Isn't it basic to being a true Christian, believing Jesus arose from the dead as he said? Yes, it's a supernatural matter, but we serve a supernatural God, the one only true God. Paul teaches us in Romans 10, verse 9 to 11, asserting there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Dear congregation, nothing in all the world is so certain as the gospel tidings of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. How sad, therefore, when the world and even some of the visible churches just keep not seeing this and refusing to believe this truth. I read the day I was writing this sermon about how in our COVID-19 pandemic crisis, by all means still, the Easter Bunny story and the pagan hope from it is to be maintained as something essential. Just quoting one news source, quote, Easter Bunny declared an essential worker in Ontario amid COVID-19 pandemic. Now, it sounds so ridiculous, except that government officials around the world, including New Zealand, speak of it in solemn seriousness. They will talk about the Easter Bunny myth, but the wonders of Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, who alone can cure us from the curse and plague of sin and sickness and death, he is bypassed and even forbidden to be proclaimed about in the public square, at least in Canada. Alas, how sad, truly, and giving all the more reasons, beloved, for us to continue in prayer that God will work spiritual awakening and revival even through the hard times that the whole world is suffering presently. Easter blues, as people call it, especially with our virus pandemic now and all its sorry impact, and also here in Alberta with the lingering winter, Easter blues can't and won't be helped with a virtual egg hunt for Canadian families. But only the gospel of the crucified and risen Savior of sinners can accomplish that for us. The emptiness, oh, the emptiness of the world's hopes can't compare to the power and riches and fullness of the Christian's hope with the empty tomb, with Jesus Christ, the risen, victorious Savior of sinners. Indeed, because notice further from our text, the tidings of Jesus and him risen again, as told by the angels, it gives a gospel message, not only so caring and so certain, but so complete, so complete. Our third point, our third observation. And why say that from the, why say that? Well, let's look again at the text, Matthew 28, 5 to 7. Notice with me how after stating most certainly Jesus arose, then the angels, what do? Then they invite the women to look for themselves to see that it was so. Dear congregation, God never in all his world, and all his word will have us believe something that is just not true. God never is out to pull the wool over our eyes. No. We have a faithful, truth-telling God. And always what God will have his people believe can be backed up and supported by the facts. Faith in God, as revealed to us in the Bible and in Christ Jesus, is not ever unreasonable or foolish faith. True faith is not about a blind leap in the dark, as some people think and as some people teach. No, no. Being a Christian is not living in empty faith, senseless faith, but rather well-grounded faith, founded on gospel facts of history that cannot be legitimately denied. Only the Christian faith speaks of an empty tomb and a living Savior God. And so, with that in mind, listen to me, listen with me also to what the angel further says to the women. It's so beautiful, so complete. What do we read in Matthew 28, verse 6b? The angel said to them, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And the word "come," you know, from God in the Bible, it's such a beautiful, inviting word, isn't it? For us to look to God and see all the treasures of salvation found with him for his people. How many beautiful verses there are with the word "come." Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What about the verse in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, where we are told, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Don't all these verses and such like relate now, also in the complete gospel message to the women from the angels in the empty tomb, including these additional words, "Come, come now, see the place where the Lord lay." In other words, discover it for yourself, dear women. Behold the empty grave and see the grave clothes lying there, which Jesus slipped out of when he arose from the dead. See it for yourself. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Very significantly, the verb tense used speaking of the place where the Lord lay or was placed is in a verb tense of ongoing action. This means, yes, Jesus' body was put there to rest, and it stayed there, that dead body of Jesus, it stayed dead in the grave for what can be called just 3 days and three nights. And then, at the moment Jesus arose, he left the tomb. And now he lives forevermore. You can see it for yourself, dear women, the angels say, from the evidence of the grave clothes here and the empty tomb and the rolled away stone, and from this message now to you, speaking as angels of the Lord, this good news. Well, don't you find it too, dear congregation? So complete message here. Jesus' resurrection, the proclamation of his resurrection. It's all based on solid factual evidence. And it is good tidings given to us from heaven above. Not just by the one angel, but with two angels present, at least, as we stated earlier, going by Luke and John's telling of the same resurrection story. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let God's word be accomplished and sealed to us. Here also I want to come back to the little fact that it was not just one angel involved, but at least two, as told by Luke and John. It seems that they didn't always both show themselves, like to Peter and John, for example, when they came to the tomb.
And maybe these two angels, they just weren't always visible either, perhaps as Matthew seems to indicate. And I can't explain that all to you. I can't explain. I don't know why. But very significantly, in John's account, chapter 20, verse 12, which we read, when Mary Magdalene, who had run away, when she came to the empty tomb alone later, just shortly after these other women had left, then we read she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And listen here to what I read from one commentator about this fact, something I found so moving and insightful, really. As this person put it, the fact of these two angels and their positions, one at Jesus' head and the other at Jesus' feet, where his body had lain, is something that can remind us from the Old Testament of the two golden cherubim who were on either side of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, as related in Exodus 25, verse 18 and following. The two angels, congregation, in the garden, in Jesus' empty tomb, were posted at either end of the tomb of Jesus, where his body had lain, who by the sacrifice Jesus made of his own life became the true and eternal mercy seat for sinful mankind. Isn't that wonderful to think of this? Jesus is the crucified and risen Messiah, Savior, long promised and foreshadowed already in the Old Testament and clearly now proclaimed most beautifully and emphatically in the New Testament. And what a complete and victorious Savior of sinners he is truly. What a mercy seat we find with him through his shed blood and him risen from the dead. Putting it all together, don't you find it such complete, comforting proclamation of Jesus' resurrection told these women by the angels. The angels, as sent by God, would have the women by all means know Jesus had risen from the dead, and we serve a living Savior, mighty to save to the uttermost all who trust and follow him. This Easter Sunday 2020 is your Christian testimony to, as one put it, I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to stop and wipe my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Here, notice with me a fourth rich observation about the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection. Namely, isn't it also so commissioning? So commissioning. What do we mean with this point, you ask? Well, you can't miss it, can you? How the angel, as soon as telling and confirming to the women that Jesus had risen as he said he would. And Luke informs us they remembered Jesus' words for telling about his resurrection. Then what happens after that? Well, they get commissioned. They get sent out to tell the good news to others. We read that. Observe it with me. Immediately, the angels send them forth to go and tell the disciples. The good news, yes, that Jesus had risen from the dead and he's alive and he's looking to meet with them soon. And go quickly and tell his disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. So the women are directed, commissioned. Isn't it the case always when the Lord saves his people and comforts his people in the way of salvation in and through him, the Lord then also commissions us, gives us a task to be a gospel witness and a light to others. These women were to go quickly to spread the good news, the best news ever in all the world. The gospel tidings of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again are not to be kept to ourselves or hidden under a bushel of whatever, by whatever hindrances we place upon it. No, no. But we are called to let the gospel light shine, letting all the world know Jesus saves. He is the Savior who didn't only die for our offenses, but arose again for our justification, as Paul declares in Romans 4. Everything and everyone in this fallen world of sin and evil is utterly hopeless except Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer, be proclaimed and trusted and followed as only Savior and Lord. Right now, we are in the midst of wondering, whenever will we come out of the misery and confusion and trouble and restrictions with this coronavirus epidemic? But congregation, just keep remembering that virus is minimal compared to the virus of sin, which only Jesus, as crucified and risen Savior, can deliver us from. Who might you and I tell this good news to concerning Jesus Christ, who died in payment for sin, but also rose again in victory over sin, that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life? You know, being mostly in our households and household bound, let's be sure by God's grace and Spirit to have this focus in our homes and with our families, first of all. And then, as God gives us opportunity, to others within our church family and our neighborhoods and over the internet and in social media, etc. I read this week about someone in regards to Good Friday who wrote, "My heart is just overwhelming right now with the rent veil of the temple when Jesus died." Let our hearts be overwhelmed now too with the empty tomb was so full of good news. Come and see and go and tell is the Lord's direction for his people in all ages and times. And may God bless us that we too see this as our calling when confessing Christians, God helping us therein day after day. The angel, we read, exhorted the women to go quickly. And we read, they ran to tell the disciples the unbelievable good news. And Mark 16, verse 7 relates, they were to tell it to all, including also to Peter. Yes, Peter gets singled out among the disciples. No, not because he was extra special, but because he sinned extra deeply, having denied his beloved master three times the night before his crucifixion. But the blessed risen Savior, also by way of the proclamation of the angels to the women, would so make clear Jesus, the risen Redeemer, delights in mercy and to prove himself as God of all comfort in all our trials and tribulations, with all our sins and sinfulness, with all he is and has done and does do as triumphant Savior of sinners. Even in this time of our present day virus pandemic, let's not forget the missionary calling of the Church of the Lord, especially in our prayers and our gifts and with our Christian witness to others, as God yet gives us opportunity. Perhaps even through this pandemic crisis, many more opportunities will be provided us, where people maybe now even will pay attention to the gospel message, where before maybe they lived as if they didn't need it and they couldn't be bothered with it. Oh, let's pray and work that Christ, as triumphant, living Savior of sinners, may yet add to his church many now still lost to come to him and be saved also through our witness, corporately and individually. And here we come yet very briefly to our last observation from our text about how comforting the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection was and remains. Yes, so comforting. We see this from our text, where we learn, even when sending the angel, the women off, the angel said to them as further seal of the divine message to them, "Behold, I have told you." In other words, this is the message of God Almighty, dear women, in Jesus' name. Go and do his bidding, and you will not be put to shame. Furthermore, how comforting that they could tell the disciples, Jesus lives, not only, but that he himself was looking soon to visit with them in Galilee. Yes, Jesus would confirm to them too, even in the very place of darkness where he had so often ministered to them before and with them, that he would now also relate with them there that he had risen
from the grave as he said he would. We know, don't we? Jesus actually met his disciples before this meeting in Galilee. The reality became the disciples didn't have to wait until they arrived at last in Galilee. But in fact, the risen Savior would himself meet with them even that very evening in Jerusalem on that first Easter Sunday that Jesus arose from the dead. Some want to maintain the angel's words actually here were contradictory. But that's not at all the case. Rather, as one well put it and well said, that Jesus saw his disciples before this visit in Galilee simply shows that God, or if one prefers, that the risen Savior is even better than his promises. You know God that way? He's better than his promises. The meeting in Galilee would happen, yes, but later and before that, other blessed meetings would take place. Oh, hallelujah. What a comforting Savior is a risen Redeemer. And we see this also most clearly with what happened to these women when they left the tomb hurriedly to tell the disciples the good news as they ran with fear and great joy to tell the disciples who met them. Who met them, children, you know? None but Jesus himself. Matthew relates it to us in verses 9 to 10. He meets them and he says, "Rejoice! Rejoice, my dear women. Yes, and go tell the disciples. I am risen, as I said." It's all such a moving story. The good news of the gospel concerning the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, Christ the Lord. It just never stops, that good news, nor ends for God's people. It's unending good news, already here in part, and then in perfection forever, in the new heavens and the new earth. Thank God for the joyful good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Just from the angel's proclamation of Jesus' resurrection as given in Matthew 28. May God bless his word that we all, you and I, know and believe and rejoice in and reflect the good news of Jesus risen again. The resurrection proclamation by the angels tells that good news as news so caring, so certain, so complete, so commissioning, and so comforting. Even so, risen Redeemer, prosper also now this sermon about this all by your word and spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.